And let me just say, Joe and Pam Wagner do an excellent job setting up things, just organizing everything. And yes, you can give Joe and Pam Wagner a round of applause. I get to go along for the ride, drive a little bit. Jim did most of the driving, so I went along for the ride. We had some young people that went. We had a group of 14, four teenagers, the rest of us non-teenagers. We were trying to figure out the average age on the team, too, and we found out that Bob Fiandaca was 77. It blew my mind, and, man, he's almost as active as Tyler. Yeah, and between the two of them, they're 90, so that's pretty impressive. Anyway, our mission going down was to, there was a trailer from the 70s that a family of seven lived in, and it was to put new flooring in, new plywood down on the floor, which sounds simple enough. But when you have seven people and all their belongings in this small, dilapidated trailer, it's a Houdini act to be able to get the wood on the floor, because it means you have to move everything else out of the way. And paint some rooms in there as well, and they certainly needed it. Next door was a woman who is the aunt of Derek, who's the father of the family that has seven. And Peggy was just a delightful person. She sounded like Dolly Parton to me. She didn't look like Dolly Parton, but she sounded like Dolly Parton to me. And her little home, it was two rooms that she lived in, and we'll tell you more about the third room, but it was pretty dilapidated. She has three dogs and 10 cats that I heard lived outside, but I was inside the house, and my nose told me they've been inside. She had health issues. And our goal there was to put a roof over the porch, do some painting in her house, and it expanded from there. And the team just had a heart to do different things. Let me show you the images. And if you, as a team member, I've talked to, I think, most everybody as you came in today, if you'd like to share, if you could sit right there, we're going to have some of the, so during the song, if you want to come up, have a seat, and then after we watch the images, listen to the music, then we'll hear from some of the team members. Thanks, Russ, for putting that together. And the reason there was more slides at the end than music, that was a decision that I had made. So I knew there's going to be some more at the end there. But thanks again, Russ. So who wants to go first? Dave, look at that. What a brave man.
Somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to be last. I just want to take a few moments to praise the teenagers. We had four teenagers on this trip. They were absolutely amazing, just amazing. I had forgotten how much fun it could be to be with a group of teenagers. So to you parents, an amazing job. I would encourage all of you, send your kids on a trip like this. The final day, we had to leave a day early, and we were saying our goodbyes, and Tyler showed me a secret handshake. Tyler, I want to tell you, it's really a secret because I have no idea what that handshake was. I know it had some of this and some of this and some of this, but in what order, I don't know, but it was really cool. Each night, we kind of discussed a different situation, and on the final night we were there, the question that we proposed, what was one of the most fun things or that you experienced throughout the week? Well, a lot of the group talked about the train, okay? The last slide of the dairy bar, on the way to the dairy bar, we, in order to justify going to the dairy bar for ice cream, most of us walked. And during that walk, there's an overpass that goes over a group of railroad tracks. So this one evening, there was a group, maybe 8, 9, 10 of us, walking back, and there was a train stop there. And it was like a bunch of teenagers, giggly teenagers. We stood there in the dark waiting for this train. In the distance, there were the red lights, waiting for the lights to change to green so the train could proceed. When that train started to move, the giggles, the woo-woos, the jumping up and down, it's like we'd never seen a train before. But for some odd reason, it became like one of the coolest highlights. We were back as the teens with the kids and enjoyed that moment. On the spiritual end of it, it was in some aspects indescribable. There were answers to prayers for the team, for the people's houses we worked on. Again, all I can, I just, it had been 4 years since Chris and I had participated, and I miss those blessings. They're really something special. Next.
For me, this is about the seventh or eighth time that I've been to Appalachia, but every single time, it's a humbling experience because you're going down to an area that people have not all the luxuries that we have, the nice things that we have. It's available to them, but they don't have the finances for that. And it humbles me when I come back that all the stuff that we have, and you know, they are happy, happy people. The kids were happy, the parents were happy. And Peggy was an amazing woman, just accepting us, strangers walking into her home, and the same with the Markhams. We walked in on Monday, and they were so welcoming. It just went right to your heart. And fun-wise, it was a lot of fun just being, again, with the teens. We had a real good time. It's a good time sharing with the teens using tools that maybe they never used before. But I noticed, Tyler, you used the saw. What didn't you have on? Your safety glasses. Yeah, so, okay. Who's next? Oh. One of the pictures that Joe has, there's a plywood board, and there's a square cut out in the center of it. When we were flooring the two girls' bedroom, we moved a lot of furniture in order to get the boards down. Well, there was one area where there was a vent, and I thought it was a working floor vent, you know, for air conditioning or for heating. So I jigsaw and cut it out, and after we got that board down, Derek came in and he looks around and he says, "Oh, this is really nice. Nice job." He says, "But that hole, the vent doesn't work. I chase possum and raccoon that come up through there." So executive decision by our boss that on that project was to take this thing up and cover the possum hole. So.
Hi there. My name is Donna Matoka. I have been down to Kentucky 3 years now with Pam and Joe. I connected with them at OBCC. This year was a twofold for me. I was using the week to work on my doctorate, and what my goal was there was to just observe people and spirituality, which is what I'm focusing my doctorate on. So just to give you a flavor of it, I ended up with 14 typed written pages, single-spaced, of all the spiritual aspects that were going on during that entire week. So it really is very, very meaningful. And a lot of that came from the teenagers as well. So it to get that multi-generational aspect of it, there were some very, very deep feelings that came from the teenagers. So it is a wonderful experience for the youth to go to, so I would highly encourage that. The other thing that was, it was a stretch for me this year. Being a nurse, I can kind of be a little germophobic at times, and I didn't realize how bad it was until we got to Peggy's house. But I thought, okay, I said I was going to do this. So we went into the kitchen. That was our goal, was to paint the kitchen. Having all the animals in her house, you can imagine what was on the floor, and I had an imagination even further about what was on the floor. But we got in there, we painted, and we added cleaning the floor and the countertops as well on there. Had plenty of time to do that. Made it pretty with curtains. So God really did give us the time to do the job and to move forward, which is very, very good. So God gives you the time to get everything done that you need to do. The other thing that, to take that even further with my germaphobe, Heidi got into the bonus room, I will call it the bonus room at Peggy's house, and the kitchen looked completely clean compared to the bonus room, and we decided, given the time, we were going to get in there and clean it. That was a huge stretch. So I told Heidi, we need bleach, we need masks, we need gloves, and we're going to get in there and scrub, which we did. Definitely a science project going on in that place. But the benefit is that that's where we really had to work hard and to pray through all the issues that you may have getting through something like that. But what resulted was a beautiful sitting room for her, a room that she could use. She's probably has in the two rooms 400 square feet. Her bedroom is a bed, her bathroom, and her washer and dryer. The other room is her kitchen. So she doesn't have a lot of space to, you know, stretch out. So we got a nice room for her to enjoy. Thank you for taking out that last air conditioner with all the ants that came swarming out of there. That would have made me scream. But we took care of that for her. And we ended up getting her an air conditioner too, which was easy enough to do, given the small square footage. And what that really provided for her was a healthy living environment, which we take for granted. She hadn't slept at all. She could never sleep through the night. Her lungs hurt her. She had, you know, she said, I just can't sleep. I feel like somebody's sitting on my chest. Well, if, you know, you have no air conditioning, you have no airflow through there, you have unhealthy air that's in there, as well as it's 85 degrees at 8:30 at night. You never really get any relief of temperature in there. So what the cleaning did, what the extra room did, and what the air conditioner did is she slept through the night two nights in a row as we were walking out of there. So it really does make a difference. So you don't know what God's going to give you. You kind of work through it, but you really can make a difference in somebody's life if you're just a little open to it. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Kirsta. I'm 16, and this is the second time I've been to Appalachia on my fourth mission trip. But this one was a little bit different. So, like they said, that we had 14 people and there was 4 teenagers and there was 10 adults. I was the only teenage girl. And that has never happened to me in like all the trips that I've been on. Like it has always been like all teenagers and like 3 adults, or it's been like half girls and like 1 guy, which would be Joe, and he'd be the only guy there. But so this one was really different. So about a day before the trip, I was like, I do not want to go. Nothing's making me want to get out of bed. I don't want to pack. I wasn't packed the day of the trip. I just want you guys to know that. Like, I was not packed. I did not want to go. I was had my heart set on not leaving. Like, I was like, Dad, did you pay for the trip yet? And he was like, no, probably not. And I was like, okay, then I don't have to go, right? And he was like, no, you have to go. Sorry. So I went, and I made it very clear on the first night that we were there that I did not want to go to this trip, that I was not happy to be here. Like, I love helping people. And that was probably the only reason that I was there. And I'm not usually like that, like, just so you guys know. Like, I'm not like that. But I just didn't think I was going to have fun, because last room we were there, we put confetti all over our bedroom floor and had a shaving cream war, and it was thebomb.com. It was so much mess. It was a long time to clean it up. But so I didn't have any high expectations. I just didn't want to go. But then I saw like 50 and up become like 5 and under when I told them that. So they're old coots to me. Like, it was just funny.
the work that we did there, like, I was on the painting crew, and I was run by Dave, and it was the best crew. We had a handshake and a team, like, chant and everything. It was pretty great. And Tyler painted me head to toe when I was talking with the teenagers in her bedroom. She just came up and slapped paint on me. My partner in crime, Donna, and I, we painted the van windows and the car windows with a window marker in the middle of the night and blamed it on Tyler. And I think we had some people believing us for a while. But then I had to come confess because I'm really bad at lying. Then, like, we bought stuff for the kids while we were there, like backpacks and, like, toys. And, like, we bought, like, the teenage girls, like, blankets and pillows and stuff because their room was kind of, like, iffy. And so they were, like, really thankful for that. And, like, it was, like, an eye-opener to see, like, since the old coots became young coots, like, it just showed me how much people, like, are willing to go out of their way to, like, change for you, to, like, help benefit you and, like, or make things better for you, if that makes any sense. I don't know if I'm saying the correct words. But then it was so, like, they were so thankful for just, like, the people there were so thankful for just, like, the little things, like, pillows and blankets and, like, they were, one of the girls swallowed a bubble, and she was really happy about swallowing the bubbles because she was blowing the bubbles, and she was happy that she had bubbles. And, like, I guess it was just an eye-opener. And I saw Peggy, like, the one that lives in, like, the three-room house, like, she cried when we brought in curtains, and that, like, blew my mind. Like, they were just curtains. Like, I have them in my room. Like, why does it matter? And, like, she just, like, sobbed, and I was like, oh my gosh, Peggy. And then, like, I don't know. And okay, last thing, I'm done. And, like, so Chris, like, when Tyler attacked me with paint, I went to a Moody Bible Institute, like, for a college visit, and I got, like, their t-shirt, and I had not gotten paint on me any other day of the week, and I was like, I'm okay to wear this shirt. And Tyler came and attacked me, and he got it all over my shirt. It is white, and, like, the writing on it's white, and it's just destroyed. And so I was kind of, like, not sad. I was kind of like, oh, okay, like, it's just a t-shirt, you know, whatever. And then, like, I was talking to Chris, and she was like, you know when you get a scar and, like, how you're always going to remember that? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, that's your favorite shirt, right? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, now because it has paint on it, it's not coming off. It's kind of like a scar. You're always going to remember this trip because of that. And so that really, like, touched me. And, yeah, I'm done. Okay.
I'm not good at this. I usually cry. I just want to point out that just on a personal level with our team, the building of relationships was wonderful. Getting to know each other, amazing. I mean, we would never have had that had we not gone on this trip. The teenagers watching the love pour out as they're having a blast, that was an amazing thing. Our group of three put the flooring down. It was a very tight space with all of the moving that we had to do. The teens came in and painted around us. We were so set on getting the floor done from beginning to end that we were working kind of in a tunnel. So in our little breaks, we got to talk to the family. And it was little because we wanted to get this flooring down so that they could come and lay the carpeting. Is that what they call linoleum? Rug down. So at the very end, we only had 4 days, Dave and I, so we had to leave early. So the last day on Thursday, we're done. The rooms are together. We realized one of the girls didn't have a mattress for her bed. So I guess that was the day before we left. So that was in. That was awesome. So they're all painting and cleaning and scrubbing, and I got to sit down with the two little girls in their bedroom and put a puzzle together. And they sang to me. I didn't want to leave. The sweetest voices you ever heard. That's what it's all about.
I think everybody here knows that I have a heart that's down in Appalachia right now. This was mine and Joe's 16th year straight going down for the summer. We also go down every December. I think the one thing I want to let people know is that so many times there's older people who want to go down, but they go, oh, there's nothing I can do. I can't do a lot of the things that I was able to do 16 years ago, but there are always things that can be done. There is getting water for the rest of the crew, or doing some sweeping, or picking up things, or just talking with the families. Sometimes just talking with the families is building up a relationship with them, because that's what you want to do when you're down there, is build up that relationship. Another thing, a lot of times, and this was me when I first started going down, I always wondered, well, why aren't these people doing something? Why aren't they working? Why aren't they? And I know it's hard because the coal mines have pulled out. There's not a lot of work down there. But the family we worked for this year, he has a computer degree. He and his wife both worked for the state of Kentucky, and they both lost their jobs. So now he's working at Kroger in the fuel center. And so it's not a case of a family sitting back and not doing anything. They do, but they don't have. So I think for us to go down there and to be able to help them, he was so grateful, and he kept sitting there saying, I don't know how to thank you. And all I could think of at the end of the week was to tell him, when you're able, then you just play it forward and you help somebody else. So for anybody who's older, who thinks that they would like to go down to Kentucky, I already have a week. I didn't tell you this yet. I already have a week reserved for next year, because that was the week I could get the mission house. I'm not saying that Paul's doing a youth trip, because I don't ever want to assume that. But for the adults, if you are ever interested, just remember that you don't have to do physical work, because there's a lot of other things you can do.
Okay, I'm almost the last one. There's a lot of things that came out of this trip that was really good, but it was not without its adversities. I just want to say each one of the teenagers, for sure, had their own set of adversities. There was a concussion and ingrown toenail that was pretty serious, a few sicknesses. So it's not without its problems, but I think as a team we worked through it pretty well, and it was just a good trip. Paul said I did most of the driving. I'm not sure that's entirely true. He drove every day while we were down there. I just did most of the down and back stuff. Anyway, during that time, either he was driving or I was driving, and the other was sitting in the passenger seat most of that time. So we actually talked quite a bit, more than usual, actually. And one of the things that Kirsta said was that this was her third mission, or was her second trip to Appalachia, third mission or fourth mission trip altogether. It was very different. One of the conversations Paul and I had was, he's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 missions trips, I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, and every one of them is different. It's all to do with what you're doing, the people of the team, because it's never the same people, at least not entirely, and each person adds a new dynamic. And it's just a really good time, and from a construction standpoint, we had this issue with steel. We went down there thinking, oh, well, we can just throw the steel up there, no big deal. And when we went to get it, and it was like, oh, well, that's like a 10-day order. It's like, well, we're not going to be here for 10 days. So through several things, we were able to get the steel within 2 days, and that was kind of an answer to prayer. But one thing I kind of wanted to mention on a funnier note was Tyler. He is a ball of energy, number one. But for a young man of his stature, he has got a ton of knowledge in construction. I was very impressed. And one of the things that I kind of realized looking back on the trip was, I'm 210 pounds. There's no way I'm getting on the the roof that was there, I would have crushed it. But Tyler's up there jumping from one side to the other, and he's like, oh, yeah, I can do this, and I can do that, and I'll drive this screw over here. And it's like, Tyler, you're amazing. So anyway, that's just one of the many stories. I could tell stories about every team member that was down there. They were all very good. I kind of had to laugh a little bit at Donna's aunt story, because I popped this air conditioner out of the wall, and it was like something out of a horror movie. I mean, there was just ants just poured out and going all over the walls, and she was like, okay, I gotta go. So it's like, okay, so we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses, and that's just the thing, you know. But on a more serious note, one of the things that really impressed me about just being there is that we got down there, and one of the things that Peggy said was, you know, I'm just really happy you're here, and I'm not sure what brought you here, but I'm really glad. And later that day, it was Monday, later that day, she's taking people to the doctor, and she's running errands for people. And somebody, I don't remember who initially stated it, but they were like, you know, we're an answer to prayer for her, because she's doing all this work for all these other people, and she's not expecting anything in return, but we are that answer to prayer. And I just thought that was an impressive thought.
You can stay in the front row if you want to, or you can go back to where you were. Thanks for sharing, all of you. And that did come out of my preaching time. It did. I'm going to preach fast. Let me ask you a question. What are some things that you consider a comfort zone? Raise your hand if you've got one. Things that bring you comfort. Yeah. Chocolate, there you go. There's foods that just, yeah, well, air conditioning, absolutely. Yeah, Pat. Reading the Bible, awesome. Your bed and your pillow. No, I gotcha. I understand that. You come home from a trip and it's just kind of like, yes. Yeah, Amber. Your cat. Did you enjoy the cat photos? Good. Good. Anybody else? The crazy of your house. I've experienced that a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've. How many children do you have? Yeah, 4 children. I understand. God often calls us outside of our comfort zones, and that's a big part of what missions is, but there's a blessing when we get there. Father, speak to us in the short time we have from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Luke chapter 10. It's a very familiar account from Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan. The funny thing that's been pointed out so many times is Jesus didn't call him good, but we consider him so. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law, Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Jesus asked. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus preached a four-word sermon. Go and do likewise. Folks, we can talk about a lot of things, but it's what we do that really matters. The first day that we got to Kentucky, the first work day, I always want to make sure that teenagers have tools in their hands, that they're able to work, they're doing things. And I tend to be kind of a glorified gopher. I have the van. I was able to return a lot of things. And I'll just be honest, Heidi doesn't know I'm going to say this, but she wasn't as busy the first day as she wanted to be. Other people were a paint crew, were a floor crew. They had different things going on. And I tried to tell her part of what we were doing that day was establishing relationship with Derek, with Christina, with Peggy, and we, you know, we saw a lot of that. And we knew that there was this back room, and Peggy told us the first day. She showed us her house, but she said, there's this back room. No one goes there. I mean, was there a body back there? We didn't know what was back there, but we knew Peggy was not letting us go into the back room. I got to tell you this. There's the one slide where you saw, I think it was Jim with a rubber glove on pointing at a small window. That was in that room that you already know we eventually got into. And she had another nephew, not Derek, his brother, that was not well. And so she nursed him back to health in that room. And one of the things, this is Kentucky. It's sort of like the hole in the floor. Oh, no, please plug it up because that's where the possums come in. I mean, it's just Kentucky, you know? Well, there's that window. That window, Derek's brother, while he was getting well, just used to put a rifle out the window so he could shoot. And he'd just shoot out the window. It's a Kentucky thing. I can't explain it. We had to take the picture and just cross outside my comfort zone. I mean, here in Chicago, you have drive-by shootings. There, it's sort of like a drive-through shooting, okay? It's just right out the window. It's just different. The second day we were there, Heidi was chatting with Peggy. We had established a relationship the day before. She got us into the back room. And some of the ladies were chatting about it, and they said, you know, Heidi is so good at that. She just sweet-talked her into getting into the back room. No, you're saying, oh, I had an aha moment. I'm like, that's what's been happening all these years. And I have an understanding of my wife that I didn't have before. She's a warm-hearted person, and she persuaded Peggy to open. What she did tell her was, she goes, you should see my house. I think what she meant was, like, my stuff is what she really meant. But she got in the room. And, you know, we had certain projects to do, and the folks that did them above and beyond. But Donna shared about some things that we were able to do that weren't on the list. And so often, it's the things that aren't on the list. And she didn't mention the word mold, but we're pretty sure that room was just filled with mold. That's why we got the bleach in there. We didn't know the ants were going to be in there. But then the women took it upon themselves to transform that room. Let me just say this. I remember I was going to do a mission trip to Belize in 1986. Russ Munson remembers that trip. That was his first mission trip. And you were in kindergarten and I was in eighth grade. So for the setup trip, my mother, who was 59 years old, went down to Belize with me to do the setup trip. She paid her own freight. She's just like, I want to go. I want to see what you do. And we roughed it. I mean, if you were on that team, Russ knows this. Very difficult circumstances. My mom and I get down there. We're staying in this place. It's a glorified fort. And in the middle of the kitchen, there's this big bowl, big basin, and then it's filled with water, and then there's something floating in it, and then on top of it, there's sort of like this plastic mesh thing. And, you know, you look at it for like a day or so, and then you finally go, what is that? Oh, well, there's bread under it. Yeah, I see there's bread in it. What is that? Well, let's keep the rats out. That way they can't get in there. My mom and I look at each other. We're sleeping on the floor, okay? And they're keeping the rats away from the bread. Good. We went home, and I planned for the trip that summer. It was a great mission team that we had in Belize, summer of 86. But my mom sent down with me all sorts of kitchen items and all this stuff. And I'm like, Mom, I'm the missionary man. We don't need this stuff. You know, I got down there, and I don't remember, tea towels, some other things. They were gold to the people that were down there. You know, I used to work with an organization that only allowed men to go on mission trips. We just want the men. Well, the women can come along if they'll cook. Now, I learned a long time ago, there are things that women see that men don't. Now, I know it works the other way too, but I'm just emphasizing the one today. Women see things that need to be done. You know, I didn't notice that Peggy didn't have curtains, but all the women did. And Peggy cried over those curtains. And I remember the day that we got the idea right away. She needs an air conditioner. And the team put funds together. We even left her with some money to help with the first few months with her electric bill, because it's going to cost more. But so we came in with the curtains, and she was crying, and it was just fun in its own way, because she's going to cry, and then I'm not going to name any names, but the ladies on the trip, they're going to cry, and then it's like, okay, we're all going to cry now. But she got her curtains, and then I said, well, we got something else. Can we bring something? She goes, you can bring in anything you want. I said, all right. Then we brought in the air conditioner. And she said 8 words that I'll never forget. In tears, she said, what did I ever do to deserve this? An air conditioner. What did I ever do to deserve this? That statement embodies grace. When we think of the cross, when we think of what Jesus has done for us, what did I ever do to deserve this? Do you know there's so many people that use that in a self-pity kind of way? What did I ever do to deserve this? And yet, when the grace of God touches our lives, and when we pushed past some of the boundaries, past the comfort zones, to do some things that weren't on the list, that's where it seemed that some things just really came to life on the trip. Not taking anything away from the things that were already planned and the things that happened, but there was so much life that was in that. You know, love not only touched the heart of Peggy, I watched it light the jets of the team members. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it's one thing to do the job that's in front of you, but when love is the motivation, and love is to be the motivation for everything that we do, and that's what Jesus is getting at in the story of the Samaritan. And you know, so much is lost in the translation, and I don't have time to go into the whole thing. But you know, we think of Samaritan as, oh, a wonderful person. That's the last thing they thought in the first century in Israel. Jesus could have told the story of a good Muslim terrorist. That would have gotten our attention. Tony Campolo loves to tell it. I'd love to tell you the story about a good Jew, but I don't know one. So I'll tell you the story of a good Samaritan instead. Oh, the folks in his day got it. They got what he was saying. Because it wasn't the people that religion didn't do it. The Levite, he found a way around it. If you're religious, you can find a way around stuff. As a matter of fact, religious people are really good when it comes to the law. We're so good at that. See, I'm doing exactly what Jesus said, but nothing that he wanted. The Levite, he found a way around it. The priest, he found a way around it on the other side. And sometimes when we're back in suburbia, we find a way around the problem. I saw something on the news the other night, Chuck Gowdy reporting on homeless students in the Chicago public school system, and the numbers were staggering. Thousands of students that attend Chicago public schools are homeless, living in shelters. I was moved by some of their stories, and the temptation sometimes is I want to look the other way, but love and treating someone as a neighbor doesn't allow me to look the other way. It causes me to embrace the person who's in front of me. And do you know, it's not the label that you have. Here was a Samaritan. He had a label. It wasn't a good label. Some of us here today, we have labels. You know, and sometimes I don't like the label pastor sometimes. I mean, to some people, that's like a curse word. On a flight, Heidi knows this, a lot of you know, the last thing I'm going to tell people is I'm a pastor. Because I see the, oh, uh-huh, okay. Oh, you're a pastor. And then you know right there, oh, you have bad church experience. Oh, I do, yeah. So I guess for years I've been able to get away with the line, I work with teenagers. And if they don't ask anything more, at least judge me for who I am, not from a title. But folks, some of you might have a label today. Jesus doesn't judge you according to any label, but he does look at what we do, and he gets us outside of our comfort zone. Quick story. Summer of 1998, going on a hiking trip. It was Labor Day weekend, the same weekend that Princess Diana died and Mother Teresa died later that week. Almost unarguably, the two most loved women on the planet at that time. Went on a hiking trip to Banff, Canada, with John Kohler. And some of you know John, our missionary in Mongolia, who's getting out of the frying pan, getting into the fire. He's going to Afghanistan. And so John and I went on this hiking trip with a few other guys, and we saw glaciers, tundras, we saw snow-covered mountains, these blue lakes that are just glacier-fed, just one thing after another. It's just beautiful. And then we come up to this one mountain, and it's all like shale and this rock that's falling off, and I'll hike. Any, if you've been around me, you know I love to hike. A nice short hike of 10 miles is a good day. That's a short one. I love to hike in the national parks. But we came to this thing, and you got to climb it, like on all fours. And Kohler gets to the top, and he's like, come on, guys. And I'm down there with Jerry, who's 10 years older than I am. And I looked at Jerry, and I said, my ego is not into this. I don't have to get to the top. There's a lot of beautiful mountains around here, and this is the ugliest one that's here. Why do I want to climb this? I hike. I don't climb. And Jerry looked at me, and he's like, yeah, like right on. And he goes, I'm going to the top. I'm like, oh. So he goes to the top. I follow after him. It was not fun getting up there, but the vistas, and I was outside my comfort zone, the views from the top were spectacular. The place I was at was not spectacular. It was nothing to look at, but it opened windows for me to see what I wouldn't have seen otherwise. Jesus would challenge us today, in the name of love, step outside your comfort zones. If you want the fruit, you got to get out on the branch. I don't have time to preach the whole thing this morning, but I think you get the point. So, Peggy wrote us a note. I want to share that with you and share a little bit about a final encounter with Derek, and then I'll pray. To each of you, I cannot say enough times how thankful I am to each of you. Anything that I have needed, God has made sure that I got it. I would have never dreamed total strangers would have been so kind to me and helped me. Each of you are godsends. You have a heart of gold. The last 2 years have been very difficult. I've never done without food, and I always had a roof over my head. I did not feel like cleaning my house. My family had so much going on themselves, I did not ask anyone for help. I am so proud of my kitchen, my porch, my room. They are so clean, and I am cool. Thank you. God will bless each of you. I will never forget your kindness. I pray all of you get home safe, and I see you next year. Be very proud of the young workers. Let me just put a comma in right there. Tyler, you're awesome. Joe, you didn't get mentioned a whole lot, and you took kind of a beating because your feet were up. I got a picture of you sleeping in the car. Joey got a concussion, and he's mending. And we'd like to tell you that, you know, somebody dropped a hammer, something in service of the king, but he was actually delivering a secret prayer partner gift to a pillow, to cookies under a pillow? Yeah, wrong place for him, but yes, that's what he's doing. And he backed out too quickly, and he hit his head, and he got a concussion. Jebby was down there, and he's the one with the ingrown toenail, and he wants to do it again. It was great to have him on board. And where's Kirsta? She left. So she won't hear me say this, but I've said it to her. I couldn't be more proud of her, to go on a trip being the only teenage girl. Although I think Donna got in touch with her inner teenager. Just very well. I have seen Kirsta, the growth that I've seen, the work ethic in so many different ways, because I've been with her on all four of those mission trips. Then she says, thank you for helping Derek and Christy. They have it so hard sometimes. The work each of you have done was God sent. They could not have repaired all that was wrong. With five kids, every penny goes to everyday needs. Repairs are always last. Again, I cannot say thank you, and that's huge, enough times. Peggy Markham, and she also signed it, Derek and Christy, Amber, Claire, Liz, Olivia, and Madison. We were leaving town in the van, and we needed to fuel up. And so we went to the Kroger Fuel Center. And I got to tell you, when he told me he worked at the Kroger Fuel Center, he doesn't say it that way. It's the Kroger Fuel Center. And I'm like, a Kroger Field Center. And then finally he's like, the Fuel Center. I'm like, the Fuel Center. And it's like we went. It's like that frog protection commercial. And then I'm like, oh, the gas station. Why didn't you tell me you worked at the gas station? But we shopped all week. Pam and Joe, they got everything at Kroger. And, you know, we spent about $800, which meant we would get 80 cents off per gallon of gas with that card. It's like, ching. So we stick it in, but it's not working. And we look in the window, and there's Derek. This is 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. I forget what time it was. And he's inside, and he's like, he came out. He told us how to do it. So we got 80 cents off per gallon. He was walking back inside, and I said to Derek, I said, it's good to have friends in high places. I meant him. And he just paused, and he just pointed like that. That's my parting shot. Let's just take a moment and pray. Father, you would call some of us outside of our comfort zones. There are so many things we're comfortable with, but sometimes it gets in the way of being able to love people that are different than us, that talk funny. We were the foreigners this week, Lord. Lord, specifically this morning, there are some people I believe your Holy Spirit is nudging and letting them know, I want you to do this. And if you're hearing and you believe God's saying something to you, I encourage you to act on it. Some of us need to find ways to not judge our neighbors, but to love them. Find a felt need and to reach out to them. Who knows what could come from it? Jesus, you did not tell us to tolerate our neighbor. You told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Teach us to do that. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, because your Spirit, your perfect Spirit, there's no imperfection with the Jesus that we received. It's not like there's the 1973 model of Jesus and the 1990 model of Jesus. There's only one Jesus and one Spirit, and it's perfect. And we have your DNA coursing through our spiritual veins, and that Spirit is all about love. May love be the motivation for the things that we do, and you know that we will love life if we do that. Inspire us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.